On today's Money with Friends, GM strike costing up to $100 million a day. Good news is that's not worrying investors, but should it worry investors? And what about the people who are picketing? We'll talk about all of that and more on today's Money with Friends. Hey, everybody, welcome back to the Money with Friends podcast from my mom's half finished basement outside Detroit, Michigan, where we make the Stacky Benjamin Show. I'm Joe Saul-Sehy.
And coming from my bedroom closet in Mountain View, California, and host of the Paychecks and Balances podcast, I am Rich Jones.
The award-winning Paychecks and Balances podcast. This is the podcast where we cover recent headlines with a thought leader, in this case, Mr. Jones. We take that from the financial press. We not only read it, but we comment on it as well so that you know what this headline means for your wallet. And we do that all in about 15 minutes. Today's show is brought to you by M1 Finance, the number one finance account that does it all. Invest, borrow, spend. I like the invest part. I like spending part, the borrow part, not so sure about. But for more on them, it's stackybenjamins.com/M, the number one finance. That's stackybenjamins.com/M1 finance. Rich, you're back for a final appearance. Well, actually, we've got tomorrow too, don't we? We got you two more times.
Yeah, super excited to be back in the mix yet again. And I am also sad that this round, this time, this season is coming to an end. But we're going to have a lot of fun with the conversation today and also the conversation that we're going to have tomorrow. So really looking forward to it, man.
We are. It's a tough conversation. So I'm glad we'll hopefully be able to help some people out here. So let's get into this. Who's going to kick off today's show for us?
This is Tim from the Faith and Finances podcast. Headlines ripped from the financial press, only at Money with Friends.
And today's piece comes to us from CNBC. It's written by Michael Wayland, who covers the auto industry for CNBC. Obviously, Rich, this one's near to my heart, being back in the Motor City. General Motors, whose headquarters is here, GM strike costing up to $100 million a day isn't worrying investors, at least not yet, the piece says. Mike writes, General Motors stands to lose hundreds of millions of dollars in lost production as United Auto Workers Union strike against the automaker enters, at the time this was written, its second day. But Wall Street isn't panicking or downgrading the automaker just yet. The company has enough cash on hand and its dealers have enough vehicle in stock to weather the storm without significant problems for at least a week, according to financial analysts. After that, investors may become more concerned, potentially having a greater impact on shares of the company. Quote, from a bottom line standpoint, the impact could potentially be nominal if the strikes resolve quickly. Yet, the longer it lasts, the more it will be felt in GM's earning profile, wrote Credit Suisse's Dan Levy in a note Monday.
Interesting you said it that way, because I'm like, Credit Suisse. Bond ratings company Moody's Investors Services, which called the strike a credit negative for the company, agreed, quote, beyond the initial 1 to 2 weeks, the financial burden of a strike will become more material and the prospects of a contract that avoids erosion of the company's current competitive position is less likely, end quote. Analysts estimate GM is losing roughly $50 million to $100 million per day in production. UBS's Colin Langan estimated a prolonged strike would shave roughly 10 cents off GM's earnings per share during the third quarter, specifically from the lost production at its pickup and SUV factories. I'm going to pause there unless I should read on.
Yeah, no, I'll take it from here, Rich. The GM shares, when this was written, were down by about 4% so far, tumbling since the union announced a strike on Sunday. Shares are relatively unchanged on Tuesday. We're recording this on Wednesday on Facebook in front of a live audience, and it was 37:20 when this was written on Tuesday. On Wednesday, as we're recording this close to noon Central Time, 11:30, it's back up a whole dollar at 38:20. But you look at it, it's in this trading range. So you can see, Rich, that investors, not that spooked yet. A company, let's start there. They're talking about investors and companies going on strike. If I'm a shareholder in an automotive company, do I start thinking about selling my shares because of this? Or do I think this, you know, this is a part of being an auto manufacturer? You have a union that you work with. You knew that hopefully when you bought the stock. Is this just a cost of doing business, you know, labor disputes?
Yeah, I think of it as cycles. And I mean, to directly answer the question, I'm all about holding for the long term. That's the thing. So one thing comes up, it's not a time to immediately jump out. And I would hope, like you said, that if someone is investing specifically in this company, that they understand the cycles, they understand unions, they understand that things may come up. And I was even sitting there thinking last night, you know, what would I do right now? And to me, it's even similar to what you hear people say about the stock market overall, where it's like, you know what? Weather the storm. I mean, maybe you don't jump in and, oh, there's a strike going on, so I'm going to buy 30 or 50 or 100 more shares. But at the same time, because something bad is happening in the moment, that's not a reason to rush and cash out at that point. And what it may look like in a few days, if this continues, maybe it changes a bit. But I would hope that people who invest in these types of industries where there are unions, they understand that strikes may come up, things may happen. But over the long term, that value is going to get back to where it was and increase.
That's interesting that you say that, because I hadn't thought about that. But when I buy stocks, I obviously, which I think everybody should, I have a methodology about how I buy. So I think I go through a lot of the fundamental analysis. There's two different things you can look at. One is fundamental analysis, and that is looking at the numbers for the company, the heartbeat of the company. So how much debt does the company have? What's revenue look like? Is the debt increasing over last quarter, last year, the last 5 years? Like, are they getting into a worse situation? How much cash do they have on hand? This idea of free cash flow is pretty important to me. Also, the stock, the number of shares that the company owns versus outside investors. So can they do buyback programs? Those are some things. So you get a heartbeat of the company, but there's also technical analysis. And when you talk about a downturn, you know, and this definitely isn't a buy recommendation on GM. I mean, do your homework. But if you've got a company and they're going through something you think is going to be a short-term blip, it might be a good time. I remember one time I picked up shares of Eli Lilly. I was really interested in the company, and they had a short-term thing that happened with the FDA, and the FDA denied a drug, and they had to go back to the drawing board, and the stock went totally in the toilet. Well, Eli Lilly doesn't have just one drug. They've tons of different things. So I use that as an opportunity to buy.
Yeah. I mean, that makes a lot of sense to me. And I think for people who are watching this from the outside, and I also wonder how closely people are paying attention to something like this. I mean, GM is very close to you.
Sure.
And people who are probably in Michigan, and I'm sure the most avid of stock buyers and purchasers. But I've also wondered how closely people pay attention to stuff like this, because there's so much happening in the news cycle. And this is something I didn't actually even know this was happening until you sent me the article, to be honest.
Yeah. 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 No, and I thought about that too. If I was still living in Texarkana, would I even have the feeling about this that I have now? I want to look at the other side, which is there's a lot of people that work for this company, right? All of a sudden, I am no longer on the job today. I am out on the street with a picket sign, and my paycheck is now in jeopardy. This becomes a big issue for people. When you take a look at the average person out there, Rich, who was working last week, who isn't working this week, what did those people do?
Mm. Ooh, that is that's a tough one, especially if like so many folks in the great U.S. they're living paycheck to paycheck. So having a week off and I've always wondered that about these strikes, like how that actually impacts the paycheck. But it's almost like you got to pinch pennies. You got to cut back. You got to scale back. Unless you're the proactive person, you've paid all your bills for the month on the first, and you've got all the groceries and everything else that you need. You're probably in a tough situation where you're figuring out and probably getting a little bit anxious about where the money's going to come from to get you through the second half of the month or the rest of the month, which is that is stressful. Just thinking about it.
Yeah, I mean, and when I think about this, I think this is a good time to start thinking about. I mean, it probably is too late to do anything now besides pinch pennies, right? I mean, pinching pennies is probably the thing that you have to do, making your cash reserve last as long as possible. But I think it's also about this danger. There is a real estate expert, Robert Allen, said this, and I totally agree. He said that a lot of people work for other people because they see security. And he said a lot of people in their life, there's two doors in life. There's the security door of working for somebody else, or the opportunity door of working for yourself. And the person that opens the security door gets neither. Meaning that the second that I go work for somebody else is in charge. And I know we're doing this live in front of a Facebook audience, and Donna's here. She said, maybe how a company treats its employees should be considered union or not. And certainly how companies treat employees may change over time. And you might have a good boss today and you have a horrible boss tomorrow. So having a different income stream, having two different income streams, even if things are good today, I think is something to at least start thinking about. Like, what else can I do with my time to bring in money in a different way?
Yeah. And that's been even a hot topic now. I am not in this industry. And I do think how companies run and the culture, some of that is driven by the industry. So I'm in Silicon Valley, where there's free breakfasts and lunches, and there's random automobiles that don't look like normal cars and all of this other stuff, which is a bubble in itself. But I think for just the idea of, you know, being able to save, and this, and the idea of being able to have these other opportunities, that there's really, yeah, I'm going straight down a rabbit hole. So I'm going to pause.
No, but I really know where you're headed. And I think it is important to look at the bigger picture and not just this one instance, you know? And by the way, and if you're not somebody working at General Motors who's on strike, this is a cautionary tale. And you talk about people not paying attention. I think paying attention to this and thinking, wow, what would I do if I'm in this situation? And then there's one other way I like to look at this, Rich, which is this. It's this idea that companies have credit ratings, and they're talking about how this is a credit rating negative situation. Like, that quote to me, this is a credit rating negative. I think a lot of times you're like, well, you know what? I deserve a break. So I'm going to put this on my credit card.
Oh yeah.
I don't have any money, but I'm going to put it on my credit card. That is a credit rating negative situation you're creating for yourself when you do that.
And I think we talked about that on a past episode, where some people, like, you get to a point you're so stressed out, or you've been working so hard, and people have this feeling of, you know what, I'm going to do something nice for me. And they don't do it with cash. They do it with their credit card. And they're like, you know what, everything else is going horribly. Let me just do this one thing. Let me just have this one experience. And that one thing then becomes 20 things, especially if it's a situation like this where it's stressful, it's drawn out. Maybe you don't have the income. You're telling yourself that you're going to take care of it when work does resume. Let's say that takes 2-3 weeks, a month, or whatever else. And now you find yourself in significantly more debt. And by the time you do actually get paid, you have this much bigger bill, and you're not able to pay your balance off in full. And next thing you know, you're accumulating interest. And then next thing you know, you're thousands of dollars in debt. And it happens so quickly and so easily.
Yeah. Yeah. It's this out of control snowball before you even know it's there.
Yeah, exactly. And I think it's happened to a lot of us in different capacities. I mean, I haven't had the UAW GM experience, but I've had the same thing. It was like, you know what? Like, you know, I'm just going to put this one meal on here, and, you know, I'll pay it off. And the next thing you know, I'm like, oh, I've got $10,000 on this card. I'm going to have to pay this off at some point. Oh, there goes my bonus for next year already.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And now you're betting future earnings and then the muffler's dragging behind the car and you can't spend that money that the bonus would have gone toward, you know, I mean, you can't. And next thing you know, you're living off next year and 2 years away. And then you're in a debt repayment program, listening to Dave Ramsey nonstop just to get yourself out of debt, hoping to do the yell on.
Yeah, I won't talk to you about. Oh, I guess I'm already talking about it. My old car, which I called Altima Jones. So I had a 2002 Nissan Altima. And it was a few years ago. It got to a point with the car where like stuff just literally started falling off. Like the steering wheel was looser. And I remember being on the highway and part of like the wheel, something around the wheel had like flew off and I didn't know it. And people were speeding to get away from me.
Oh, man.
And it wasn't until I stopped and looked and realized that like the car was literally falling apart. People were trying to not die. So
might be time, you're saying?
It was time. I have since moved on, but yeah, you triggered a thought, and that experience of being on the highway and literally seeing parts of my car flying away was it was time to move on.
I like that. Three different points of view there. From the investor point of view, from the worker point of view, the cautionary tale point of view, and really also the credit rating point of view. Like what is the long-term effect of a company and its workforce being on the outs? And there's a lot. And Donna has a great point here that I think we'll cap it off with. She says the importance of emergency funds right now can't be underestimated. Totally, totally agree, Donna. In just a second, Rich and I both are going to have our takeaways from today's show. But today's show is brought to you by M1 Finance. I really like M1 Finance because of the fact that it is a PI-based investment brokerage account, meaning that instead of investing in one thing, you're investing like an investor. So instead of going into one company, like GM, as an example, going into a bunch of different companies and then keeping those properly allocated. You can find out a lot more about it and help the podcast if you use our link by going to M1, the number one, finance, using our link, which is stackybenjamins.com/M1finance. Thanks to everybody who's done that. And that helps the show, helps us keep podcasting. So, Rich, what's your biggest takeaway from this piece?
As I'm sitting here, I keep thinking weather the storm, and I think about investing in stock and I mean, even just life in general, honestly. And when you get into something, there are going to be difficult times, challenging times, things that come up. But because something comes up, that doesn't mean that you automatically need to escape. And as we know with stocks and investing, it's all about the long term. So I think for me, I've throughout this whole conversation, I just keep thinking weather the storm. Don't immediately jump when things, you know, take a downturn. Don't immediately jump when you read something on the news. Think about what your long term goal is and kind of have that vision and picture in mind, which could be helpful for getting through a difficult situation like this. Or you see something and you want to pull your money out and you think about what you ultimately want down the road. That could be the mindset that you need to keep you invested, whether in life or in stocks and moving forward.
Mine is similar, and it's something that's helped me during my career, my life. And that is, you know, to most people listening, watching this, this may not directly affect you, but I love this idea of a case analysis because we broke this down from three different places. And I love just going into any company and thinking, how would this apply to my life? Like, what can I take that either this company's doing well or this company's messing up? Maybe in this case, that's what's going on, right? This company's messing up. What can I take from, you know, in like, what's the investment lesson here? What's the debt lesson here? And by using these case analyses, we only have so many things that directly affect us during our lifetime. But if I can take these things that haven't affected me, but have affected people and companies around me, and do kind of the scenario of what does this mean to me, I can get a lot more life experiences much more quickly. And then when things do happen to me, I've got a much better palette to paint from than if I just wait for it to directly affect me and go, man, I wish I would have paid attention earlier. So that's kind of my big takeaway. Case analysis. I absolutely love case studies. Fun stuff.
I like it.
It's fun stuff.
Nicely done, good sir.
Well, thank you. You too, man. Well, tell everybody what's going on at Paychecks and Balances, and we'll call this a day.
Yes. So this week on the podcast, we're talking real estate with Dustin Heiner, and it's a topic that we've had listeners ask about, and we haven't talked about extensively because neither of us are real estate experts, but super excited about that conversation and getting feedback on that show. And then next week we may be talking about the same topic, but we shall see. We're in a spot where we're trying to get like several episodes ahead, but it's ending up where we're recording literally the week before. But hopefully after next weekend, we're going to be 3 to 4 episodes ahead. And I'll actually be able to say more about what we're doing long term because we're actually ahead on our schedule.
Awesome. Well, thanks for hanging out with us again. And we'll see you tomorrow. We'll see all of you tomorrow back here at Money with Friends.
Bye.
This show is created and hosted by Josal Cihai and Bobby Rebel and is a joint venture of BRK Media LLC and Stacking Benjamins LLC, copyright 2019. Our engineer is Caden Thompson. And for a list of our friends who appear on the podcast, head to our website, moneywithfriendspodcast.com. You can also check out our schedule for upcoming recording sessions so you can join us and be part of the show. As with anything, remember you shouldn't take advice from any of us or any other video or podcast without first talking to your financial advisor, and that the people in this episode are here for your and their entertainment purposes only. I'm Joe's mom's neighbor, Doug, and we'll see you back here next time with a real episode of Money with Friends.